G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
This is Andrew McLennan. On Saturday morning, October 7th, 2023, the holiday of joy of the Torah, Simchar Greenerman was rejoicing with his child and grandson in the synagogue when an attack occurred in the Holy Land. Responding to the alarms, Simchar and his team of first responders rushed to the scene in hopes of providing assistance. Sadly, they were confronted with the heartbreaking task of collecting the bodies of children, babies, women, men, the elderly, all of whom had suffered various forms of abuse and murder. And it's our great privilege to have Simchar Greenerman join us from Israel today. Simchar, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having us on your show.
Simchar, it's our pleasure. As I said, those of us in Australia, we've read about October 7th, we've seen reports in the media, but you were there. Can you try and explain to our listeners the feelings that you experienced, the emotions you experienced when you first responded to that call on October 7th?
Well, as usual, a volunteer in Zaka International, so when you get a call, you know what you're going to be facing, a car accident or even a terror attack, but something small. You don't really plan on seeing hundreds of bodies. And when we got to scenes, what we saw on the highways, that was the first shock. And then going into the kibbutzim was even worse. But when we came to the highways, we saw 30, 40, 50 cars. Like, some of them were flipped over, some of them were, the doors were open, but when you looked around, you saw bodies all over. People were burned in their own cars. People were like butchered and killed in ways that we cannot understand. That was on the highways. And coming through the houses in the kibbutzim, you saw things that you cannot imagine. As you said, children, adults, women, it's things that you cannot really relate to or even have in plans what you're going to be seeing. And
how many years have, because you work with Zaka. Zaka has about 4,000 mainly volunteers. I think there's 12 people getting paid, the rest are volunteers. You've been responding to, you know, natural disasters in places like Turkey and different acts of terror in Israel as well. For how many years experience have you got now?
I'm 32 years of volunteering in Zaka.
Zaka. And so on that day, you were confronted with scenes and images you didn't even imagine in your wildest nightmare.
Now, let me explain to you. I have, Zaka has different divisions in the volunteer organization. We have drones, we have dogs, we have canine dogs, we have 4x4 wheelers, we have special chesed shelemed, it's called, the ones that we deal with bodies. And all together we're 4,000 volunteers, as I said. And by being part of all these parts of the organization, coming to different scenes and providing whatever is possible and doing whatever is possible is one thing. But when you're facing something that you never faced in your life, that's shocking, because so many years dealing and helping and trying to be there for others, when it happens in your backyard, that's even the hardest part.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that even in your training, because I'm sure within your organization, you train your volunteers, there wouldn't even have been a training contingency for what you faced on October 7th.
For sure not. We train for earthquakes. We train for plane crashes. We train for disasters that are natural, that some as much as you can call it natural, but no one plans on a terror attack like that. This is something for more basically on daily basis, I would say, like for military. They're facing a war, so they know what they're going to be facing. But over here, you're talking about civilians living in a peaceful life in the beautiful places in Gaza Strip, living over there in the kibbutzim, beautiful, beautiful views, and all of a sudden this terror attack. This is something that unbelievable.
And so for the next 2 weeks, your organization, Zucker, your volunteers, had to collect the remains of 1,400 Israeli citizens. And as we've said, we're not talking about Israeli soldiers. We're talking about men, women, children, the elderly, the sick, and 1,500 terrorists who also were killed by your defense forces. You've collected all those bodies and you've shown them all respect and dignity, and done your best to provide them with just that basic sense of respect. What impact has this had on your team of volunteers, do you think?
It's not easy at all. A lot of our volunteers now, after almost 5 months already from the situation, are falling apart and not really capable to continue their life, because when you're on the scene itself as a volunteer, you know that you're doing the best job in the world, and you're doing it in respect of the honoring of the debt, and doing this for everyone, not only yourself but humanity. As we said, not only the Jews, also terrorists, not only Israeli civilians. We had Thai workers, we had guests from different countries around the world, French, England, any country, whoever was there and got killed in the rave party. So many people, but by understanding that you're doing something that for others, it doesn't make difference who you are, what your culture is, and what your understanding is. But when you're talking about a terror attack, this is something that you cannot imagine. As I said, we train for earthquakes, we train for big car accidents, or trucks, or buses, or even a plane that something happened. But for these things, no one was trained for this. No one's really willing or ready to face situations like in such horrors like what we saw. That was
Yeah,
two and a
and
half
just for
weeks.
our listeners, Simcha, as much as you can you describe some of the scenes that you had to witness on October 7th?
It's hard to explain, it's hard to understand. But when you come over to a car, and you know that, okay, in the normal car you have four people, five people, even a seven-seater. You come over to a car, a four-seater car, and you have there maybe 15 or 16 bodies, because they crush themselves into the cars to be able to try to drive away from the terror attack, and the terrorists just threw in grenades into those cars. Or we have bomb shelters, because when you have missile attacks, people run into the bomb shelters. And when you come to a bomb shelter, you see inside 30 or 40 bodies, that people that were crushed inside, tried to escape, and they were killed by grenades, seven or eight grenades that were thrown in. What can you take out of there? Parts and parts of bodies. And it's things that you cannot imagine. It's something that you can't relate to. But this is what happened. This is what we dealt on the highways and on the in the kibbutzim and the rave party, that whole area. It's something that you can't imagine. You can't relate to.
And Zucker, your approach to any deceased person is to do your best to collect all the different parts of the body, and as I said, provide them with dignity and respect. as a deceased person. And so I can imagine your team, because of the way some of these people died through bomb blasts and rocket-propelled grenades and the like, that there was just pieces of people everywhere to pick up.
Yes, yes. As I said, it took us 2.5 weeks to collect the bodies and the remains in the kibbutzim. This is under attacks of terrorists. There were still terrorists running around, shooting. There were missiles all the time flying over. All this is under attacks the first week for sure, until they had, the IDF was able to kill all the terrorists. But after 2.5 weeks of collecting the bodies and the remains, we went through all the houses and all the cars of the people that were killed in them to collect every drop of blood, because the population wanted to come back to the houses and take out clothes and different things. But we couldn't let them come into the scenes and seeing all the blood and all the remains laying around in the houses. So under the attack itself, we collected the bodies and the big parts. But it took us 16 weeks to clean the scenes afterwards, 16 weeks. Talking about close to 4 months collecting, dealing with the situation. And this is something that's very hard to understand and very hard to describe.
I can't imagine, Simcha. So your volunteers are literally just cleaning up blood and human remains and gore from walls and floors and just houses and just trying to clean these places up so people can actually go back inside and try and live there again. I just can't even imagine what your team have been through.
And
so your team now, like you said, some of them are falling apart. So what sort of support and assistance is being provided to your team now, to the volunteers at Zucca, who've really just been, you know, in the worst of it now for several months?
Well, basically, until now, we were able to get some support from the government with the healthcare and some group sessions. Well, we see that it's not enough for our volunteers. Group sessions are not enough. A lot of people are falling apart, not only the volunteers themselves, but their wives, their families, the children, the co-workers. I myself, my business was closed for almost 4 months. Carpentry is all falling apart. It's telling me, listen, we don't have work. We need to have some income to be able to support our families. We understand that you're doing the best as you could, but we're falling apart also. So we're trying to provide everyone health care for sure, and private sessions and support them with the whatever we could, because we're coming towards the holidays and all that. People need their support to be able to continue their life and to come back to normal situations. So this is what we're now trying to help them out, all volunteers.
Yeah, so the effects of this act of terror on October 7th, it's still being felt. It's like it's reverberating now through the families of your volunteers and through the many people that know your volunteers as well. It's just, like I said, I can't imagine it, Simcha, but I'm just so, I just appreciate you being so honest with us today and really just sharing your story, because I haven't heard this before. I've read about October 7th attacks. I've seen things online and on the news, but to hear this firsthand, it's very moving and it's very sad.
As I said, there's a lot of things that you could see online, but we cannot. Zucca, the first thing that we as volunteers are very, very, very important for us is never take pictures on scenes, because if we take pictures, and today it's not like years back, it took time until people saw the pictures, the images, whatever happened. Over here, if you take a picture today, you press enter, the whole world sees whatever you dealt with. That's not respectable at all. And if you want to respect someone, do not take any pictures and do not do anything that could harm them or their family afterwards. But what we saw on the scenes and what we understood after a few hours, and the Holocaust, it took 50 years to start denying. Over here, after a few hours, they were already denying what we were dealing with. So we took pictures. Volunteers took pictures of every crime scene. And so the police has all the evidence, and whoever needs it has all the evidence to make sure that no one can come up stories and you're making up situations. So it's not easy at all to have those images in your eyes and your head, and reminding yourself every moment what you dealt with, or what you saw, or what you really are trying to help the country and the world to understand. This is not easy at all.
I can't imagine, Simcha, but I just want to remind our listeners that you work for an organization called Zaka. That's Z-A-K-A. And I'm sure if people want to support Zaka, maybe financially or get in contact with Zaka, they can do that. And the website is zakaworld.org. That's Z-A-K-A world.org. But Simcha, I just want to thank you so much for being so vulnerable and honest with us today and sharing something which is just so traumatic. Most people will never know what you've had to experience, but I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate everything, and thank you again for having us on the air in your country, and having the world listen to what we really are going through in Israel and around the world. The world, not only Israel, everyone needs to know what happened and what's going on. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.